sugar, spice, and everything nice. These were the ingredients chosen to create
The Grace Curley Show. Radio, TV, print, Grace Curley does it all.
She sings, she dances, she acts.
I'm waiting by the door for my Pulitzer.
She sounds hideous.
She's just the worst.
Yeah, she's a wacko.
She is the devil. I'm in hell.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
She still leaves me both breathless and speechless.
I love her.
She is the best.
Somebody will ask you to say Grace.
Grace Curley.
I was just getting a glimpse of some of these hate mails we got coming up later. A lot of people think I'm the devil. You know, we like to do that intro. Some people love her, some people hate her. Well, today, we're leaning more towards hate. Joining me now to talk about some local stories that aren't getting enough attention, but that he's following closely, is Mike Crawford from The Young Jerks. Mike, I want to start with the interview that took the internet a storm, and that would be the Rotten Mango interview with Karen Reed. I was looking today, it already has over 1 million views on YouTube, and there were a few nuggets in there that I would love for you to recap for the audience, for anyone who hasn't watched it for themselves.
Absolutely. Ron Mango, hosted by a young woman in, I think, Atlanta, Georgia. She has 6 million followers on YouTube and probably just as many on all the other social networks. She's very popular. She's younger, I'd say a millennial, which was interesting to see Karen with somebody who's younger. Usually she's being interviewed by people my age or older, like Howie. So it was interesting to see her with somebody who was a little bit younger than Karen. It was a great interview. And she really let Karen talk. And a couple of things she said, Karen, in the interview was that she will probably be moving out of Massachusetts because she's so fearful of the police and the political corruption in the state. So when her probation ends, you know, it's 1 year probation, I think she may be moving out of the state from the sounds of it. That was interesting to hear from her. She also talked about that she's working on a book with her attorney, Alan Jackson, which she said could take a couple of years. So that was very interesting because people have been wondering, you know, about books and movies and all of that happening with her. So she did speak on that, which was very interesting. There was quite a bit in there. I would have people check that out. Just check that interview out. It's on YouTube. It's on iTunes, all the podcast places, Rotten Mango, Karen Reed interview. Over 1 million views on YouTube. It's only been out since, you know, earlier this week. So it's amazing to see that much attention this long after the trial for Karen Reed.
I know there's a lot of speculation as to why she waited a lot longer this time to speak out and to get interviewed. I know she spoke on Howie's show briefly, and this was really her first in-depth interview. Do you think, Mike, from just, you know, what you've watched, was she a little gun-shy because of that first trial and then talking to people afterwards and maybe that not really panning out in the way she wanted? And is she being more cautious this time around?
Yes. Yeah, she definitely talked about the documentary, which I was also interviewed for several times, The Body in the Snow, and I wasn't included. She talked about that whole kind of fiasco,
yeah,
where she was filmed for quite a while. It didn't work out the way she wanted it to. And then those sound bites were used against her in court, and she's looking at civil trial right now where she's, you know, being sued and suing the house defendants and the police. And she's also possibly looking at an indictment. They're still trying to indict her criminally for witness intimidation, Norfolk County. And she talked about that recently on YouTube as well with another, you know, kind of interview she did for a fundraiser that I was a part of, where she expressed that she's every day still frightened that they're going to come knocking at her door to arrest her for witness intimidation. So they've tried this several times. It hasn't worked, but apparently she still has her second criminal defense attorney since being acquitted of the major charges. She still has a criminal defense attorney for Norfolk County. So she's definitely, I feel like that's why she's been so kind of silent and gun shy, is because she's worried about civil trials and possibly criminal indictment against her.
Now, Mike, Howie has a column out in the Boston Herald, The Curse of Karen Reed, and he talks about how a lot of the people that were tied into the first and second trial, things have not panned out well for them since. He mentions Michael Morrissey, who announced he will not be seeking re-election. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Michael Proctor. But he also mentions Marty Kraft. Tell us about this story. He's a lesser known character in this, but an important one nonetheless.
And it's interesting because we don't know much about how, you know, about this Marty Kraft guy. There's been a lot of suspicions and allegations against him and how he works with maybe possibly the Norfolk DA's office. So it appears he's a private detective. He's a former Boston Police Department guy. And there's also, you know, suggestions that he hired Brian Albert. So, you know, this guy is, you know, close to the main characters, let's put it that way. And he's a former Boston Police Department sergeant, Marty Kraft, and he got picked up, you know, a crazy situation up in Newburyport where he was apparently sleeping with somebody's wife. The husband called the police and because he found a gun under the mattress, a loaded gun under the mattress, and it turned out to be Marty Kraft, this former Boston police sergeant, private detective. He's since lost his private detective license in Massachusetts over this incident. And Howie notes this, you know, the police had been to this house, like had 75 incidents, you know, since 2020. So like in the last 5 years, the police know this house very well. They've been there. It's just kind of a funny scandal, but it's interesting that another person connected with all of this got themselves in a jam, as Howie would say. And it's wild to see, you know, all of these folks, like Howie said, are falling. Chris Albert being perhaps the latest, and Michael Morrissey. These two guys aren't going to run for re-election, is the word on the street. So there you go. Like, the dominoes continue to fall one after another.
Yeah, and I know we've talked about Juna Perkins before, who is seeking that office, the DA position in Norfolk County. What do you make of the field of challengers? And were you surprised? Were you surprised that Michael Morrissey, because I know we've had you on before, Mike, we've talked about how is he possibly going to run again? There's just no way. But then also seeing it that it's official that he's not going to, it did kind of surprise me a little bit. So what do you make of it?
I wasn't surprised. It's funny. I predicted January. I said after the new year is when he'll announce he's not running. And that's exactly what happened, which was kind of surprising to me that I called it in January. And, you know, so it happened. I'm not surprised, but there's a field of four, but I really say it's a field of two. I think it's the front runners are Juna Perkins and Adam, who is the former federal prosecutor. Free Karen Reed definitely supports the new guy, the federal prosecutor. He's raised a lot of money. He doesn't have as many contributions from the district as Juna. Doesn't have as many endorsements from, I'd say, the Democrats, the local Democratic committees, and the local town select people like Juna Perkins does. So I'd say those two are the front runners. It's either the former prosecutor, Adam, vote for Adam, or Juna Perkins. I'd say it's pretty much a tie right now. They've raised very similar amount of money, but he's a newer candidate, so it's impressive that he slightly leads her in fundraising. But like I said, she's got more donors. She's got more donors in the district and more total donors. So I call that a tie. They're very close. It'll be neck and neck. It'll be interesting to see if Juna Perkins can kind of pull it off with the, you know, canvassing, going knocking door to door versus Adam, who seems like he's got the Free Karen Reed folks right behind him, especially Karen and Bill Reed. They both made significant campaign donations to him, Adam Deitch. So it'll be interesting to see. They've definitely endorsed him. They both made statements. Karen made a statement. And Bill Reed has also made a statement in support of Adam Deitch, the federal prosecutor. So that's an interesting race. I think it's going to be a close one between Adam and Juna, and we'll see what happens over the next months.
I have one last question for you, Mike. I obviously have a million questions, but we're running out of time. You mentioned Body in the Snow. There was also a Lifetime movie that premiered a week ago. I think it was last Saturday, about Karen Reed. Did you watch that movie? And if you did, what were your takeaways?
Yep. Yes, I didn't. I did watch it. I didn't much like it. I think the best part of it was the actress who got picked to play Karen Reed. Her name is Kate Cassidy. Turns out she is the daughter of Hollywood royalty David Cassidy from the Partridge Family. So that was pretty wild to see Kate Cassidy play local Karen Reed. I think she did a really good job. I think the movie wasn't that good. It was just basically they were recreating a lot of the FOIA videos that came out and some of the key court scenes, but mostly it didn't focus on what, you know, what I felt like would have made it a good movie. It's the House Defendants versus Karen Reed, the psychological thriller of it, and, you know, all the revelations. It really just was kind of light on the police misconduct and the police culture. Just focused on Michael Proctor and the naughty words he said.
Yeah.
And Jennifer McCabe and the 227 search.
I was surprised.
That was the movie, basically.
I was surprised by that just because I was surprised that they actually read off a lot of the text messages and some of that language, as we know, was a little jarring. So I was just shocked to see it in a Lifetime movie. But I think you're right. And when I was watching the Lifetime movie, I really just kept saying to myself, this would be a better series. This would be a better limited series on like an HBO. And maybe there is one in the works. I have no idea. But this is something that you need a little bit more time to set up the timeline and the characters. And it just didn't, it felt like it was trying to give people too much too fast.
Yes, and I feel like the whole production of it was rushed. They wanted to be the first out of the gate. And I think that you can tell that they, and Kate Cassidy has even said that she only had like 2 days to prepare for this role. She was cast in it, and then like the next week she was playing the part. So even you know, I think she did a great job considering she looked like her, she acted like her. The last scene of the movie, I thought she was spot on when she thanked her supporters on the courthouse steps. It almost made me feel like it was actually Karen Reed speaking. So she did a great job, but I think it was rushed, and I think they could have done much better if it was a multi-part series, like you're saying, Grace. Absolutely.
But, you know, the fact that you think she did a good Karen Reed is pretty high praise, because not only is Karen Reed from Massachusetts, but she's got that, as we were told, what was it, Taylor, a weird Fall River accent. And a lot of the accents around here, whether it be the Canton accents, because you could get a part in this, Mike, and think, well, yeah, it's a story based in Massachusetts, I'll just do a Boston accent. But no, you really have to know the intricacies, like the different kind of ways that people talk in Canton versus Stoughton versus Fall River versus all these other places. So thank you, Mike Crawford. I like getting your review of that movie. We will talk to you again next week. I appreciate your time. Everyone follow him at The Young Jerks on Twitter, and also check out his YouTube. When we come back, I want to talk about Tom Homan and these comments about a database that's going to track or at least keep information about these agitators. And I also want to get your take on Greenland. Are you giving it two thumbs up, pass go? Are you giving it the green light, or are you giving it the red light? We'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us.
Weird Fall River accent, though.
Watch the show live. Rumble.com/The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Oh, 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 oh. Happy Friday, party people. Thank you for joining us today. I have a team of minions out there who are constantly on Twitter that send me stuff all the time. Stuff that we need to know. Breaking stuff. And I just saw this amazing cut. And I'm not going to play it yet because I know I just sent this to Jared. And I'm going to give you guys some time. But Trisha McLaughlin, she is underrated in this administration. I always say she's DHS's Caroline Leavitt. She's like their own Caroline.
She's got the longest job title I've ever seen. It's like assistant deputy ICE
to the regional manager
spokesperson.
Yeah, she's great. She just destroys them. And I think that's what they should make her headline is Caroline Leavitt of DHS, because she does the same thing. She just lays out the facts. And she was on CNN, and she's it's 2-1 is how you would say 2-1 Democrat fun. And they're interrupting her. This is something you notice with, if you ever watch a cut of like Ilhan Omar or Jacob Frey, and they're going on and on and on, and they're smearing ICE agents, and they're inciting violence, and they're comparing ICE to the Gestapo, and they're telling completely fake stories and pushing a narrative. You know what you'll notice when you see these cuts? No interruptions. They'll just talk. They'll just talk and talk and talk. If you ever see a cut of, let's say, a Marco Rubio or a Trisha McLaughlin or a J.D. Vance, you'll hear this annoying sound. And that's the sound of a political activist hack posing as a moderator who's going, I think I should chime in here, and even when they're making a point, that one of the ways that they interrupt is they go, well, you know, no one is denying that, no one is, then shut the bleep up and let them finish their point before you interrupt them, you morons. Listen to this cut of Trisha McLaughlin. This is beautiful.
Pamela, in the last 5 weeks, we have arrested 2,500 criminal legal aliens off of the streets of Minneapolis.
No one,
if I
like
can
that.
Finish, if I can make my point, I appreciate you having me, but I do want to be able to make my point.
Sure.
The point of the matter is, I have not seen CNN cover who some of those individuals are. An individual from Ecuador, he murdered his three-month-old son. An individual who is perpetuating human slavery and human trafficking. Scores and scores of murders, child pedophiles. Why does the media not talk about that? We continue to see that people love to demonize law enforcement, vilify them as they're facing a 1,000% increase in assaults against them. And yet we're not talking about the great work that they're doing on the ground, the fact that they are risking their lives day in and day out to get these criminals off the ground. Gang members, known as suspected terrorists, these are all the people that we've arrested in Minneapolis. And DHS has, and Secretary Noem, President Trump, have done a phenomenal job of trying to give people transparency on who we are arresting, and yet we're standing here talking about relitigating cases over and over and over again.
And there's something in that that I find is a cop-out for these Democrat hacks like Wolf Blitzer and Wolf Blitzer's sidekick, whoever that lady is. And I'm sure she's brilliant, so forgive me for not knowing her title. They do this thing, Taylor, where they'll say, well, no one's denying or no one's mad about getting the child rapist off the street. Like, we can all agree. But yet, and yet, and yet, it seems like you all are mad about it. Because all you keep telling me is, well, I don't have a problem with them extracting these child rapists. And every time they go in and try to do that, they don't have an issue doing it in Texas, for example. They're not meeting this kind of resistance from complete lunatics with no lives and no family and no friends who are focusing in on banging drums and vandalizing ice trucks. They're not meeting that in other places that actually don't have a problem with them deporting child rapists and murderers. So while you sit here on this panel on CNN and tell me, well, of course no one has a problem with those people, I would disagree. I would disagree. I would say that if you are suggesting defunding ICE, if you are vilifying ICE, if you are taking the side of the shovel-wielding illegal alien, if you are taking the side of the married couple, as CNN put it, the Venezuelan Trenda Aragua, as Trump says, gangbangers, Mr. and Mrs. Trenda Aragua, if you are pushing that narrative and you are completely putting a blackout silence on all of these other stories that are very important to exposing exactly what ICE is trying to do, then yeah, I would say you do have a problem with it. Like, don't lie to me. Don't sit here and try to say, well, of course we don't. We have no problem with people trying to get rapists off the street. Then why are there riots? And don't look at me and say, well, it's because of Renee Good. Because the reason Renee Good was playing chicken with those ICE agents and was part of ICE Watch Warrior is because she has an issue with them going into Minneapolis and taking out the most dangerous criminals there. That's what ICE Watch Warrior is all about. So I'm not buying this narrative anymore that, like, oh, we support immigration laws, we just don't like the way Trump is doing it. If you were to be fully transparent, which some Democrats will be, the really radical ones, you would say, we hate ICE, we hate our borders, we think everyone should be able to come in, and we think illegal alien gangbangers should be running the streets. We'll be right back.
Strindiragua.
The Grace Curley Show is on the air.
Put a 25% tariff, which is, by the way, about 7 times more then they would have to pay by raising their drug, like 7 times. This wasn't like a little bit more, 7 times more. And I may do that for Greenland, too. I may put a tariff on countries if they don't go along with Greenland, because we need Greenland for national security. So I may do that. I'll give you a little, I'll take you out of that. In fact, that'll end up being the story. But actually, this is a much bigger story because we're reducing healthcare by numbers that you haven't seen.
Yeah, well, we didn't talk about that part of the story at all today. So he was right. The story becomes the U.S. taking over Greenland, much to the chagrin of Democrats everywhere. That's really, you know, they're helping me a lot with these poll questions, because if the craziest of the crazy hate an idea from Trump, I usually do give it a little bit more time and a little bit more energy than I typically would. And Rebecca Grant had a story in Fox, and I just want to read you a part of this. She said, Trump is right. Grab a globe and look down from the North Pole, or check out this official Pentagon map. You will see that Greenland is pivotal to the Arctic front. Greenland's eastern coast guards the Greenland, Iceland, United Kingdom. This is the entry gate to the Atlantic for Russian President Putin's nuclear-armed submarines. Greenland hosts important early warning radar sites because its field of view covers so much of the bomber and missile flight routes from Russia and China. No Greenland, no Golden Dome missile shield, which is obviously part of Trump's presidential agenda, is that Golden Dome missile. So with all that being said, the poll question is brought to you by Local Silver Mint, located in Ware, New Hampshire. Silver Dave will work with you directly. Contact him at localsilvermint.com. Taylor, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is should the United States take control of Greenland?
So I saw the CNN poll said I think 75% of people don't like this idea. And even on the conservative side, I think it goes like 50-50. Don't quote me on that. I read it pretty quickly. I say yes, and also keep in mind, and I know he has midterms, I know he has to care a little bit about what the public thinks about these certain issues, but Trump's a second-term president. He really is in honey badger mode. So I'm saying yeah.
71% say yes.
I'd rather the U.S. do it than Russia or China, but that's just me. I don't have as much faith in Russia and China as the people who are constantly calling our president a puppet of Putin have in him. Or have in these places. For people who hate Russia so much and talk about how bad Russia is, they certainly seem to want to give Russia the upper hand in a lot of these circumstances. I want to say one more thing before we get into a very exciting new segment on this Friday afternoon. I just played that cut from Trisha McLaughlin, and I told you all that one of the things that bothers me that I keep hearing from Democrats is when they tell us, well, obviously no one wants to see criminal illegals. And Jacob Frey, our friend Jacob Frey, has been doing this a lot lately. He's like, oh yeah, no, we support taking illegal aliens out of the community if they're violent criminals. We help ICE. Well, I really don't think you do, because I've seen other places that cooperate with ICE and they're not having a lot of these problems that you're having, which I think is intentional. I think you're stirring up a lot of these problems. But also when they say that, what they're really trying to say, and I've seen it on CNN, I've seen it in these op-eds, I've seen it from Terry Moran's tweet, is that Obama did the same thing. The deporter-in-chief did the same thing. And so they don't have a problem with deporting violent criminals, so they say. So what they're really telling you is, we don't mind deporting these violent criminals. We don't mind enforcing our border, our laws. We don't mind having a strong border. We just don't like the way Trump is doing it. We don't like the way Trump is doing it. To which my response to that would be, what's your way? What's your idea? Because I'll tell you guys, we had 4 years... 4 years of an opportunity for you to showcase what your great ideas are as far as getting this border in check that don't involve sending ICE agents into these communities and extracting these violent criminals. You had 4 years to show us all of your great ideas. Pete Buttigieg, he's the idea man, right? He goes on every podcast to talk about how much every decision Trump makes is wrong and he has all the better decisions. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, comprehensive immigration reform. They had control of the White House, the Senate, and Congress. They had all this time and they had 4 years to show us what their great ideas were for somehow enforcing our border, stopping illegal violent criminals, illegal aliens who are child rapists or murderers or drug dealers, and doing it in a way that they think is humane. And you know what they did? You know what they did with that 4 years? They showed us how they would do it. They opened up the border and they let everyone in. And they let these illegal alien criminals terrorize American citizens like Lake and Riley and Jocelyn Nangari. That was their idea. They want to sit here now and go, there's a way to do this without sending in ICE agents and wreaking havoc on these communities. Is there? Because you guys didn't do anything for 4 years. So if there was a way to do it that you think is better or nicer or makes you feel good, why didn't you do it for 4 years? Why did you let it get so out of control? And you did nothing. You encouraged it. You denied it. You wouldn't even go to the border to look at it. And now you want to tell us, now that Trump's fixing the problem, and Tom Holman's fixing the problem, and Kristi Noem is fixing the problem, and the men and women of our Border Patrol are putting their lives on the line to fix this problem, now you want to sit back and tell us there's a better way? You had 4 years to show us a better way, and you certainly did not. Okay,
what's
this is,
your big beef with the Nazis?
I'm getting high-pitched like Jiminy Click. Now, this is a new segment, and Taylor put together a little bit of a musical accompaniment. Let's hear it.
Welcome to Grace Curley's Critique Boutique.
Well, 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 Grace. Another thing added to your repertoire.
Feel free to browse. We have a bevy of insults, put-downs, criticisms, and nasty comments for your perusing pleasure.
Oh my God, Grace. Oh my God, Grace. Do you want to keep talking like this, Grace?
Grace, you airhead.
Grace sounds ditzier than AOC.
Please knock off the singing. It drives me crazy.
I like how in that last one you can hear my reaction. I was stunned by that. Sometimes the callers, you think they're going to go one way and they go the other way. Yes, yeah, so this is our new repackaged hate mail for the Grace Curley Show. Taylor and I, especially Taylor, get a lot of hate from the listeners.
And you can leave that just by texting in. You can call the Chump line 844-500-4242 and press 2 and leave your hate there.
And for the Rumble people, I'll say just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
You don't have to change any. If you're on the Rumble chat, you are supplying hate mail every day by just being you. And I'm actually going to start with a little message from the Rumble chat. This was earlier this week. I like to check on the chat when I'm on camera, just to make sure there's nothing too off. Like sometimes people will say the mic flag's upside down or something like that. And when I checked on it this week, this is what I got. Put some powder on your forehead. The glare is blinding me. And then a follow-up when I did not follow instruction. Seriously, pull up Rumble and look at your face. All right, so that's one of them. And also, Perfect Smiles actually sent me a hate mail.
Perfect Smiles sent
yes.
you a hate mail? Grace, yes. Your teeth, they're not up to par.
No, Perfect Smiles was not the author of the hate mail. They received hate mail
okay.
that I was told would be a good addition to the segment. So here it is. Someone called up Perfect Smiles and said, hi, my name is blank. And I listened to the advertisement on the Howie Carr Show. And I would appreciate if you corrected what they read. So they say that Howie Carr only goes to Perfect Smiles. Well, the only needs to be replaced in a different order because so he only goes to Perfect Smiles because he does other things. So grammar is important and it reflects on your business, I believe. So I think you should take that into consideration.
Oh, dear God.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Not even I am that much of a grammar Nazi.
Yeah, I'm not at all. So that one's lost on me. Do we also have some voicemails, Taylor? Some MP3s?
We do have a voicemail, and then I've got a hate mail to Critique Boutique to contribute as well. This is somebody was just very perturbed with you one day.
Oh.
And I think it was earlier this week or late last week, and they have a whole file on you. So here's Dennis.
You got the vaccine to go on vacation, Grace, okay? You can't ever live that down. That's how much you look into anything. That's how quick you are. Operation Warp Speed, you're happy, right? And now, notice, no one wants to talk about COVID. No one wants to talk about Epstein. Because the sycophants for Trump, like you, while you don't pay attention to anything, you are the barking dog that they want out there. So the useful idiots can argue amongst themselves over, as if the Republicans or Democrats are actually better one than the other, okay? So everybody there that got vaccines to keep your job, good luck. Check out those IgG4 levels, you know? The spike protein does get passed along to next of kin, too. Good luck.
Yeah, I've heard this criticism before. People are really mad that years ago I got the COVID vaccine and I openly admitted on the air, which maybe in hindsight I should have kept that to myself, but I'm honest with people. Taylor, I think you have your own criticisms about me, but would you agree that I'm a pretty honest broker? Like, I like to tell people what's going on.
Yeah, you're very upfront.
I can't come on here every day and take a stand on something when behind the scenes I know I got vaccinated. So I just told people. I said I was going on my honeymoon. I waited a very long time because of COVID. I was very excited about it. I needed a little break. And that was the way I was going on my honeymoon, was to get the COVID vaccine, and I got it. And my argument to that would be, would you prefer that I lie? Like, I could have easily lied. I could have easily lied to you all. But I chose honesty. And for you to try to shame me with that, shame on you.
So admirable.
I know. I'm a really, you know, I'm like Jerry Seinfeld. I'm a really good person.
So sometimes you can hear Grace and my conversations on the Rumble cam. And very often those conversations are much more interesting and fascinating than the ones we have on air, because we can get a little more in depth and into our own personal ideals. And Grace had mentioned something about the Great Depression. And this has been on my mind for a little while. I had a take where I said, I'm kind of starting to think that the Great Depression really wasn't all that bad.
And what did I tell you?
And you said, that's a bad take. You said you're going to regret this.
Yes, I did.
My reasoning for this is comparing today's media coverage to the media coverage throughout history. Whereas, you know, you get stories that, like, out of Minnesota or anywhere, any lie that they want to come up against Trump with. And it's just this bloviated, overblown story that's rooted in a very, very, very infinitesimal kernel of truth, if it is even truth. And so I take that and I look at through that lens at the Great Depression, and I'm like, was it really that bad? Are they just taking the most extreme examples from that time?
And I told Taylor, I said it was really that bad. I think a lot of people didn't have food, a lot of people didn't have work, and they didn't have any sign of work, and they didn't have any money, and the banks like couldn't give them any money. I said, I think it was pretty bad. And Taylor, sitting in the studio, eating his salad from his glass Tupperware, is like, I don't think it was that bad. I don't think it was that bad. I'm like, well, people didn't have food. He's like, there's plenty of people who don't have food. I was trying so hard.
To save me.
To save you from yourself.
Yeah. So this text came through, said, Grace, Taylor is an ass. What a flippant, uneducated thing to say. My grandparents were permanently affected by the Great Depression. They were not in a major city, but in Ohio. To which I replied, lighten up, Francis, and I gave the explanation very briefly of what I just gave. But, okay, I was proven wrong. It's fine. I have no trouble in admitting that.
Yeah, and how did he describe your take?
A flippant, uneducated thing to say.
That's part of the reason we love having you here, though. You know, like if it wasn't for the occasional flippant uneducated take, it would be so boring. And I mean that with myself too. Like sometimes you just gotta go for it, and then you get humbled real quick. The Rumble will humble. That's what I'm saying.
There you go. That's a catchphrase.
Is that all we have for today?
That's all we have.
I think that's pretty good to start off. Oh wait, I should actually read one more.
By all means, this
just came in yesterday. I usually tweet out a photo of myself before I go on.
TV hit.
Yeah, and I'll say, like, coming up on, you know, Newsmax or whatever. And I put out one yesterday, and I did kind of think, the makeup's not looking great. And someone reposted it and said, Republican makeup. And I was going to...
Ooh, like Mar-a-Lago face?
Yeah, like, I knew what they were trying to say, and it did hurt my feelings, I will admit, because I take pride in my makeup. But I looked at the makeup, and I was like, they're not... It wasn't my best. You know, like I've definitely had better looks before. The lighting was a little weird. The eyeshadow was, I don't really do well with a dark eyeshadow. So I got it. But I just wanted to let that person know on Twitter, I did see it. And it was hurtful. So you made it. You made it onto hate mail.
That's the whole point.
Well, everyone, this is going to be a new segment, Grace's Critique Boutique. And a lot of you that have critiques about me, as Taylor said, call in, leave a message. I mean, those are the ones we like the most. We like to hear from you. We like to hear your voice. And we will be back. We have a lot to cover here. I think when we come back, we're going to end the week with my favorite clip of the week, which was Caroline Leavitt going at it with this reporter. I thought she really set him up nicely. She did one of my favorite things, which is when a reporter is framing something in a very opinionated way, that's when they open the door to being asked a question. Because if you're a reporter and you ask a very simple, straightforward question, and then the person says, well, what do you think about it? You can say, it's not about me. But if you're going to ask a question in a way which is clearly highlighting your own bias and your own opinion, then I think it's fair game for Caroline, or Trump does this sometimes, to turn around and say, well, why don't we find out where you're coming from? Because it seems like that answer is based off a false premise. That is, or that question, I should say. That is exactly what Caroline did, and I loved it. I loved it. I think more people should do that. And we'll talk about it. Join Toby Leary beginning September 21st and discover spectacular Scotland with Colette. This is going to be an amazing trip. I've traveled with Colette before to Iceland, which is green, and Greenland, which is icy. No, I only went to Iceland with Colette, and he was amazing. They they worry about everything, so you don't have to worry about anything. And we went with such a great group of like-minded people. We surprisingly didn't talk about politics really that much. We just talked about, you know, the things we enjoyed. We got to know each other. We formed a lot of really great friendships. And I'm still in touch with a lot of the people that went on the trip with my sister and I. We had the best time. And part of the reason why you're able to chat with people and bond and have so much fun is because you're not stressed out about where's the flight going, or, you know, what time's the bus coming, or did you get the ticket for the bus, did you call the museum, are they going to have a reservation for us, is there a place to get lunch afterwards. You don't put that stuff out of your mind. All you have to do is show up, have a good time, have a good attitude, and take in a different culture. In this case, you're going with Toby, you're going to Scotland, Edinburgh, the famous castles, you're going to go to the National Bagpipe Center, you're going to go to a whiskey distillery, the amazing Orkney Islands, the legendary Isle of Skye. There is so much to do in Scotland, and you are going to leave there not feeling like you missed out on anything. So here's what I want you to do. Call 800-581-8942 or go to howiecarshow.com and click the banner to learn more. That number again is 800-581-8942. Go to Scotland with Toby Leary. You're going to have the time of your life. We'll be right back.
More of the Grace Curley Show up next. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Caroline Leavitt to end the week. I thought this was amazing, this back and forth of this reporter who I think represents The Hill. Take a listen.
Earlier, you were just defending ICE agents generally, and earlier on, Secretary Nome spoke to the media, and she said, among other things, that they are doing everything correctly. 32 people died in ICE custody last year. 170 US citizens were detained by ICE, and Rene Good was shot in the head and killed by an ICE agent. How does that equate to them doing everything correctly?
Why was Rene Good unfortunately and tragically killed?
Are you asking me my opinion? Because an ICE agent acted recklessly and killed it unjustifiably.
Oh, okay. So you're a biased reporter with a left-wing opinion.
What do you want me to do?
Yeah, because you're a left-wing hack. You're not a reporter. You're posing in this room as a journalist. And it's so clear by the premise of your question. And you and the people in the media who have such biases but fake, like you're a journalist, you shouldn't even be sitting in that seat. But you're pretending like you're a journalist, but you're a left-wing activist. And the question that you just raised and your answer proves your bias. You should be reporting on the facts. You should be reporting on the cases. Do you have the numbers of how many American citizens were killed at the hands of illegal aliens who ICE is trying to remove from this country? I bet you don't. I bet you didn't even read up on those stories. I bet you never even read about Lake and Riley or Jocelyn Nungray or all of the innocent Americans who were killed at the hands of illegal aliens in this country. And the brave men and women of ICE are doing everything in their power to remove those heinous individuals and make our communities safer. And shame on people like you in the media who have a crooked view and have a biased view and pretend like you're a real honest journalist.
Yeah, he proved his bias. He proved his dishonesty.
And he's getting a knock on the door from his friendly local ICE agent today.
And Caroline Leavitt proved why she's the best to ever do it. Why she's the best press secretary, I think, ever with that back and forth. All right, everyone, what a great way to end the week. Have a wonderful weekend to the Grace Curley Show listeners, and tune in for Howie. He's coming up next.